The Lord be with you. This past Wednesday evening, the Reverend Barry Black, chaplain to the United States Senate, stood on the Senate chamber floor and he prayed. And in the beginning of his prayer, he said, "These tragedies remind us that words matter and that the power of life and death is in the tongue." Chaplain Barry Black prayed in a place that had just been overrun by a riotous mob. And yet, Chaplain Black did not say that the power of life and death was in a mob. The place where he stood had just been vandalized and desecrated. And yet, Chaplain Black did not say that the power of life and death was in a building. Hours earlier, armed rioters had threatened the lives of American lawmakers. And yet, Chaplain Black did not say that the power of life and death is in weapons. Chaplain Black prayed, reminding us that the power of life and death is in the tongue. And in doing so, he quoted Proverbs 18:21. But he might as well have been citing Genesis 1. For the scriptures remind us through and through that words matter. Genesis 1 tells us that God creates all of reality by speaking. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Words create worlds. And so, at this very moment, while there are thousands of people on television who will gladly talk to you about the political and legal consequences of this past week, it is my responsibility as your pastor to talk about the theological consequences of the life that we share together. And as Chaplain Barry Black reminded us, the tragedies of this past Wednesday were at their core physical symptoms of a theological sickness. You see, the United States of America is a theological state. And by that, I don't mean a theocracy, a government ruled by the church. I mean that the United States is a theological state insofar as this country exists through the belief of a world created by words. The United States of America is not a kingdom. We are not defined by our allegiance to one person. The United States of America is not an ethnic state. We are not defined by a shared cultural, linguistic, or ethnic heritage. The United States of America is not a military state. We are not defined by fear of an army. The United States of America is a theological state. This country exists because we together believe in words. We believe in the world that the words of the Declaration of Independence create when it states that we believe that all men are created equal and endowed with inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This country exists because together we believe in the process to bring forth those words into reality enshrined in the Constitution. A process made more perfect with each amendment. The United States of America exists because we believe in those words. My mother and my grandmother became citizens of this country. Though they were born in a foreign land, they became citizens like so many of your grandparents and great-grandparents because they learned the words of our Constitution. They learned the history that those words had created. They believed in those words and agreed to live into the world that those words created. And when we disagree on the world that the words of the Constitution create, the Constitution gives us a process to reconcile our differences. That process is a legal one, determined by the courts of this country. These courts are by no means a perfect system, but they are the one that we have so that we can live in a shared reality. For the past 2 months, the President of the United States has claimed that widespread voter fraud had prevented him from winning the 2020 presidential election. He brought these claims to the courts, as is his right and is his proper. 61 times the courts have rejected those claims. The courts of our country have declared that the world created by the Constitution is one in which there was not widespread election fraud. And yet the President of the United States has continued to make his claims, claims that have been repeated by his enablers on the internet, on the media, and in elected office. Words rejecting the world created by our Constitution. Words instead that claim this election was stolen. Words create worlds. And these claims have created a world in which a sizable percentage of our population believes that there is a conspiracy that goes from county clerks to the United States Supreme Court to steal the 2020 election. And last Wednesday, the people who believed those claims acted in a way that is entirely reasonable if you believe that the entirety of the United States government is a lie. They attacked the U.S. Capitol. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Five people are dead, including one police officer, because of a concerted effort to use words to create a reality in which any and all action is permissible to overturn the results of our most recent election. Fortunately, the rule of law has been restored. Fortunately, the Constitution still stands strong. But let us be clear. The attack that happened this past Wednesday was not just on our Capitol. It was upon the world created by the words of our Constitution. And so as we go forward, we must recognize that there still exists within our country a theological wound. As Americans, we still do not live in the same reality. We continue to use words to create separate worlds. And I wish I could stand here today and tell you I had an easy solution, a fix that would bring healing and unity to our nation in this moment of need, but I do not. What I do have is the gospel. And the gospel appointed for this day is the baptism of our Lord according to Mark. And Mark begins his gospel by saying the beginning of the good news. That term, good news, in Greek, it is euangelos, from which we get the English word evangelical. And before the gospel used the term euangelos, it was a technical term referring to an imperial announcement. Mark begins his gospel by saying the beginning of the good news, but not of the emperor, but of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Son of God is also an imperial title, one bestowed upon themselves by the Caesars. Mark begins his gospel with an imperial title and an imperial announcement, but he is not talking about an emperor. He is talking about Jesus Christ. And then he says that the preparation for the coming of this Jesus is happening in the wilderness. The wilderness where the people of Israel escaped slavery from Egypt. And he goes on to quote the words of the prophet Isaiah describing how God will lead the people of Israel out of slavery in Babylon to freedom. And at this point, a first-time reader of the Gospel of Mark would believe with complete sincerity that Mark is about to describe Jesus leading a violent insurrection to overthrow the government of Rome, liberate the Jewish people, and restore the kingdom of Israel. But that reader would be wrong. Because John the Baptist does indeed proclaim that Jesus has come to liberate us. But not from Rome, not from any Caesar or Pharaoh. Jesus has come to liberate us from sin, the true tyrants of this world. And so John tells people to prepare for the coming of Jesus, not by arming themselves with weapons, but by confessing and repenting, by disarming themselves with the truth of how they too participate in the sin which enslaves this world. For the new world will not be built by mobs or buildings or by weapons. This new world will be created by words, by the word of God. But before we can hear God's true word, we have to silence our false ones. And so John the Baptist calls people to repent. And with the water and the word, he washes away the false worlds created not just by one faction or another in his society, but by all people. And in this mass baptism of repentance, a new word is spoken. For the heavens are torn open, and a voice from heaven speaks. The same voice which spoke light into being at the beginning of time speaks a new word, and this new word creates a new world, for it says to Jesus of Nazareth, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Those words create a new world, the kingdom of heaven on earth, a theological state of which anyone can be a citizen, anyone can be a child of God, a sibling in Christ. All they have to do is simply to believe the words and to live into the world that those words create. May this gospel be our guide. May this gospel be the theological thread which we use to stitch together the theological wound that is tearing apart the heart of our nation. May we, who strive to bring forth the kingdom of God, not just on earth, but here in the United States of America, follow John's example. May we begin with confession and repentance to set ourselves free of the true tyrant that enslaves this world, sin. May we call upon those who have perpetuated lies to confess and repent. But just as John himself declares that he is not worthy to untie the thong of Jesus' sandals, may we too confess our own sin. May we repent of the ways in which we have used words to create separate worlds. May we repent of passing along hearsay without verifying the information. May we repent of ignoring information that does not fit into our worldview. May we repent of demeaning those with whom we disagree instead of holding them to higher standards. Your words create worlds. And so when you call for peace, may your call be filled not with words that silence dissent, but may your calls be filled with words that seek understanding. When you call for justice, may your words be filled not with those that hate the wrongdoers, but be filled with words that love truth. Your words create worlds. So may your world, that your worlds, that your words create, be filled not with enemies to be destroyed, but with fellow siblings of Christ to be invited into the waters of baptism, that together we might wash away our false worlds and hear the word of God. The power of life and death is in the tongue. May your words create a world of life in God's kingdom. Amen.